Christians should not worry. Truly. Truly. And somebody is saying, Brother Mitchell, it's easier said than done. I know. But Christian should not worry. What 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says?
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
May I? This passage going to come up again. It's not only that God cares for us, but that God is able to deal with whatever we cast upon him. You have had the experience, and I've had the experience, where a person who cares for you wanted to be of help, but they don't have the wherewithal. We have had many situations in life where a person wants to come to your aid, but they don't have the knowledge, the money, or whatever. When Jesus Christ, through his servants, cast some of your care upon him. Thank you. Casting all your care, that is all the things that bother you, that cause you to lose night rest, cause you to be fretful, and whatever, take them to Jesus Christ. Reason one, he cares. The other reason is, he's able. So, with this passage, the other passage is, I can Philippians 4:6, is that? Okay, hold that passage. We'll come up and we'll get back to it. May I? Worry is a thought process. What does that imply? It's the way we think that bring on so much of our worry. So I repeat, worry is a thought process. It means that worry can be controlled. And that is a fact. It can be controlled by changing our thinking about the things we worry about. That is a fact. Worry is a thought process. It's the way we think about whatever that causes us to worry. May I share this with you? Some time ago, my brother and myself, let me back up, our father died and left land, Clarendon, Manchester, at different places. It so happened that because most of my brothers and sisters, well, all of them except me, had migrated and have done relatively well. So the land just there's one of the place. I do hope the aluminum industry reach it before I die, because it's right in the aluminum behind Porus, that once they reach it, truly, many times over the past few years, I say, I hope they take interest, reach that section before I die. Anyway, we lease a little piece of place to a lady, and then She used the land, and finally, for the past 3-4 years, she put up a little shed. It's right beside the main road, and she hasn't been doing anything with the land. So my brother, the one who is a member of the church in Mandeville, spoke to me about the fact that another person, both of us know him well, Owen, he makes mattresses. In fact, my cousin who used to help me with that, used to work with him. He wants to lease the piece of land. But there's a little eyesore on the land, a little shed that was there 15 years, a lady not doing anything. So my brother said, we have to tear it down. So, there when you pass, Brother McFarlane, and saw us, that's what we're doing. We're tearing down the little shed. So we tore down the shed. I didn't even know the lady who we had sought and given the place to use was still around. Finally, when we are at the last part, there was a gentleman, one or two men we asked to come and help, and we'll give them something. The lady turned up. And she started one whatever. She hasn't used the place for 15 years. The gentleman who is interested in it said he doesn't want to touch it. It's best for us to pull down the place since it's not being used and has not been used for years. The lady came and she raised Cain, and she said she's going to pour us police station. It's about destruction of property. So both my brother and myself said, what a thingy. Anyway, we left it and talk about worry. So I haven't forgotten. We tore it down and I left. So some months ago, I got a register slip from the post office. Lord have mercy. And you talk about worry? I was literally afraid to go to the post office for that register. Because I remember the lady threat that she's going to go to the police station and report us for destruction of property. It's our property, you know, little old shit. Anyway, I build up the courage and go to the post office. The register letter I got was something good. It had nothing to do with the lady. You see how I worry for no reason, whatever? That's the way we do in life. What did I say? Worry is a thought process, and we can minimize our worry by changing the way we think about the things that make us worry. And that is a fact. If we can find the right thing to tell ourselves when we are worrying about things, and we tell ourselves, I have legitimate reason to worry, you would be surprised. In fact, did you know that 75% of the things we worry about never come through the way we thought they would? So if we can start learning to change our thinking about that which we worry about, we would be helping ourselves. There are things and there are attitudes which serve both as preventative measures and serve as antidote for worry. Preventative for the man or woman who does not stop worrying or does not get into that habit of worrying. So there are things that can prevent us from getting there. Antidote for the person who is a worrier or easily get worried over things. There are things. There are ways to deal with that. There are about 9 things. I'm going to deal with probably just 2 or 3 or 4 tonight. Then over the next few weeks, or as time permits, we pick up on the others. Genuine faith. Familiar? Yes. But it works. Genuine faith and positive outlook repels worry. That is a fact. Oh, Brother Mitchell, I'm a Christian and I believe in God and I still worry. Probably you do not believe in God sufficiently. Probably your faith in God needs growth, needs expansion, because it is a fact that when faith is real and genuine, and when we learn to develop a positive outlook in life, and somebody interrupt me again and say, but Brother Mitchell, how can I think positive when so many negative things are happening to me? Yes, you might be right that negative things are happening to you, but what you probably do not realize is that you are overlooking some of the positive things that are happening to you. You see, a lot of times we can be so negative, you know, that there are some good things happening to us and we are not even cognizant of them. So it is a fact that genuine faith, positive outlook, repels worry. Little faith and negative outlook encourages and invites anxiety and worry. That's another fact. If my faith is small and shallow, if I think negatively, then that just makes me anxious about everything, eh? And it brings worry. Literally all of us here, I know most of us, we know about the lesson of Saul and David in respect to facing a reality called Goliath, a giant. I always like this story, and I think I will use it as an illustration to show this. Two people are two groups of people. Let me stick with two people face the same reality. Two people. Saul and a young youth called David. They did not face different things. They faced the same reality. But both of them walk away with two completely different responses. Look at it with me now. Run to it quick. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 23-24.
And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines.
The Philistine of God. The Philistine of God. Read.
Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man.
I want you to notice this. Read that little part again.
And all the men of Israel.
All the men of Israel.
When they saw the man.
When they saw. Remember, Goliath was an extraordinary big and tall and strong man. He was a giant. The men of Israel under consideration here were soldiers. And when all the men of Israel saw Goliath the giant, what it says?
Fled from him.
They fled from him.
And were sore afraid.
They were very afraid. Yeah? That's one response. Because this man was Israel's enemy. The experienced soldiers were afraid. They ran from the man. Read on.
And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up?
He was a wonder. Have you seen this man that has come up?
Surely to defy Israel is he come up.
He comes up to belittle Israel, to embarrass Israel. Read.
And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches.
You notice how people love riches, eh? Huh? Then and now, yet nobody took up the challenge. As much as they love riches that Saul would give them, no Israelite took up that challenge. Read on.
And will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.
That means he won't pay any tax, etc., etc. Read on.
And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?
What verse is that?
Verse 26.
Set down to 32 and 237.
And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him.
Let no man's heart fail because of this giant. This is another response. Remember the first response is that they were afraid. In fact, the Bible said they were sore afraid. That means they were very afraid. That's one response. David faced the same reality. Goliath, his response is,
let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine.
That's right. Here the experienced people were discouraging David. Read on.
To fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear.
May I? It is a wonderful thing if you do not forget all the problem that God has led you through. When we forget them, we do ourselves a lot of wrong. You know, I have shared with you here that great Psalms where David points out, I trust him for here and now. I trust him because of yesterday, and I will trust him for tomorrow. the business where I trust him because of yesterday. It's where in the Psalms, I think it's 27, where David looked on what God did for him in the past. And that made it possible for David to trust God now. And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we cannot remember everything. And for some of us, our memory is not the way we want it. But when you are faced with challenges, always remember some challenge you have gone through that you felt it was the end of your life. And God brought you through it. Because that's what David had to rely on, you know. He's relating how when he tamed his daddy sheep, and the bear or the lion came to destroy them, what he did. But you know what? David did not tell how big his muscle was. It was the Almighty God who saved him from the wild beast. And he felt that same God going to save me from this giant. What I find interesting is Saul and his army faced the giant. Their response was fear, timidity, etc. David alone faced the same reality. And David's response was confidence. It would be wonderful where, while I know it doesn't work like that, but it would be wonderful where we as Christians, because we believe in God, when we face challenges, we all meet it with confidence. Matthew 14, verse 30 following.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him.
May I? You remember that for a while Peter walked on the sea. Huh? You remember that I told you a while ago that our thinking, well, first, that worry is a thought process. When Peter thinking and walking on the sea, when his thinking was on Jesus Christ, and with Jesus Christ in control, he could defy the laws of gravity and not sink in the water. As long as we remember that Jesus Christ is able, he did very well. But you know, the thinking began to change. And he began to worry and began to sink. The same happens to us. Brothers and sisters, the sea of life has many boisterous winds. Brother Mitchell, thank God I've never met any of those boisterous winds. Give God thanks. But build your faith in Jesus Christ. Build it in a real, genuine way, so that when your boisterous wind comes in life, and they usually come, that you'll be able to stand up. Not only that they are boisterous wind, they are also many storm clouds. that comes in our life to try our faith. Only as we learn the fact that God is real and He cares for us will we go through those successfully. So genuine faith and a positive outlook in life repels worry. Secondly, trust in God keeps our spirit from dropping low. But Brother Mitchell, you just deal with trust. Because faith is trust, yes and no. Faith and trust overlap, but they are different. Faith is a firm persuasion. It is conviction based upon hearing something. That's faith. That is conviction based upon hearing something. Hope. In faith, you have hope. In faith, you have expectation. Trust is confidence. But the essence of the word trust is to rely upon. That's the essence of the word trust. While faith and trust overlap, but the substance and essence of the word trust is to rely upon. So the point I'm dealing with here is that trust in God keep our spirit from dropping low. Faith gives us the blessing of sustenance and security. When we trust, it makes us feel secure. I told you about Herbie Blagrove. His brother Winston comes to service here now and again when he's in the island. Winston and I were good friends. Herbie was a few years older than I am, but Herbie loved me. I used to steal my father's tobacco and give them. And he was very protective towards me. When I was going to school in Poros, I wasn't afraid of any of the boys there. Not because I fight. I didn't fight or anything, truly. You know why I wasn't afraid? Herbie. Truly. I told you about him many times and will tell you about him many. Because Herbie, I told you he came to Kingston to spend some time with his sister and went and saw one or two movies about Tarzan. And he came back to country and see how you see Tarzan hop from tree to tree. He would do the same. But you know what? He could fight and he was cruel. He was cruel. And everybody at the poorer school, all the big boys, that probably was twice time his weight, they were afraid of him. And if any of them ever scrape at me, I just find Herbie. You see, I trust in Herbie. Meaning, Brother Mitchell, I rely on Herbie. when we trust in the Almighty God, it gives us security. It gives us that feeling of security. Are we there? Look at this. I love this passage. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. I really had in mind verse 7 and 8. But let the passage show you the other side of the coin. So let us read from verse 5 through verse 8.
Thus saith the Lord.
The passage is dealing with trust. And I'm on the point that when we trust in the Almighty God, when we trust in Jesus Christ, it sustains us and it gives us a feeling of being secure. And trust was meant to do that. Listen, Jeremiah, a great passage. Read.
Cursed be the man that trusteth in man.
You all hear that? Huh? May I? We have to be careful that if God bless you, if the Almighty God bless you with a good bank account and house and land, be careful that you do not shift your trust from God and trust in these. Very important. Very important. You know why it's important? The Almighty God knows more than you and I that at what point our trust shifts from Him to these things. So even though you or I might be telling us, I trust in God, but God knows that's really what you're trusting. And God will make them fail. Give God thanks for whatever blessing He gives you. Money, house, land, whatever. And use it wisely. Make sure that you give to God and the cause of Jesus Christ what you are to. But it doesn't matter how wealthy you, don't trust in it. Because especially when we are children of God, God, when we shift our trust from Him to things, our people, God will show us that we have been unwise. They will fail. Start again.
Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm.
You see, it's the same man, you know. When he said, cursed be the man who trusts in man and make flesh, that is the flesh of man, is what?
Arm.
His arm. That's what you trust in. Read.
And whose heart departeth from the Lord.
You see, that's the problem. When, because God sends blessing in material things, in whatever form it takes, we shift from God to that. That's where our trust is. Read.
For he shall be like the heath of the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land.
If the land is desert and it is salted
and not inhabited.
And it is not inhabited. This is telling you the state of the man who moves his trust from God to men or things. Now, my plan when I studied this passage was not to include those verses. The verse now is verse 7.
Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
Remember, we are talking about trust. Blessed is the man that trusts in God. the man or the woman whose hope is the Lord. Read on.
For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters,
uh-huh.
and that spreadeth out her roots by the river,
uh-huh.
and shall not see when heat cometh.
Wait. In fact, we are going to end with this passage. I want you to absorb, digest the picture being shown here. It's a beautiful one. Here is a tree. Its root run to where it reaches the water. So that even in time of drought, the tree doesn't feel and affect, is not affected by the drought. Why? Because it is being fed and nourished by the water. Read, brother, that little part.
And spreadeth out her roots by the river, mm-hmm. and shall not see when heat cometh.
Because it spread its roots to the river, reed.
But her leaf shall be green.
Her leaf shall be green.
And shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither
Wait. Shall not be careful. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? It's like the tree saying, somebody saying, what a terrible drought. And like the tree saying, it doesn't bother me at all. You see? I don't care about the drought. And this is... You see, the tree represents the child of God who trusts in God. The protection, the guide, the direction that the Almighty God will give. The verse 8 finish.
Neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
That's right. The tree root fed by the river of water made all the difference. And the passage is about the nourishing power of trust in God. Last passage, Proverbs 3:5.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
You see, the Bible keeps reminding us to be careful how we lean to ourselves. In fact, going to sound almost contradictory, while I will not go in that tonight, is the one of the points. Remember, we are looking on some things that can help remove, weigh off, help us to deal with worry. We'll be looking on the acceptance of self and personal limitation, not tonight. You know, acceptance of self and accepting your personal limitation, that will help you. We'll be looking on faith in self and faith in your potential. But Brother Mitchell, is that going to contradict what you have just said about trust? No. God expects us to have some faith in our selves, but it must not replace faith in God. But all that will be dealt with. We aim tonight on the fact that you are to learn to rely on God, because that trust in God becomes sustenance and it becomes our security. Remember, to genuine faith and positive outlook, that was what made the difference between Saul and David. And it makes a difference today. Right in this audience, You and I will face different things and sometimes face the very same challenge. And the two of us come out responding differently. All because of our faith and our trust. God does not want us to worry. If you are here tonight, you can be a Christian. Yes, you heard me right. If you are here tonight and if you are not a child of God, you can become a child of God tonight. That's where Jesus Christ begins to help you to build your faith. When you are in Christ. What did you say, Mr. Mitchell? When I'm in Christ, yes. And you must believe in Him as God's Son, as your Savior. You must repent of your sin. You must confess faith in Christ. And you must be baptized to get in Christ. Oh, that's the way they do it at this church. No, that's the way God fixed it in the Bible. In fact, I have some news for you. God had fixed it that way in heaven before Jesus Christ came down and revealed it to the apostles. But tonight, in a few seconds, we stand to sing a song to God's honor and glory. You can step forward and give your life to Jesus Christ so that you can begin to build up faith and trust in Christ that will help to guide you through life with all its storms and its challenges. Come now as we stand and sing.